Jesus realized that the Pharisees were keeping count of baptisms that he and John performed, although his disciples, not Jesus, did the actual baptizing. They had posted the score that Jesus was ahead, turning him and John into rivals in the eyes of the people. So Jesus left the Judean countryside and went back to Galilee. To get there, he had to pass through Samaria. He came into Sychar, a Samaritan village that bordered the field Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was still there. Jesus, worn out by the trip, sat down at the well. It was noon. A woman, a Samaritan, came to draw water. Jesus said, "Would you give me a drink of water?" His disciples had gone to the village to buy food for lunch. The Samaritan woman, taken aback, asked, "How come you, a Jew, are asking me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?" Jews in those days wouldn't be caught dead talking to Samaritans. Jesus answered, "If you knew the generosity of God and who I am, you would be asking me for a drink, and I would give you fresh, living water." Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, we come to you this morning thirsty for your living water, for your message of hope, and for your gift of inner peace. And so, God, I pray that my words and this message might be an offering into your world, that we might be drawn closer together in love and sent further out in grace. Amen. Well, thank you for having me. When I was going to seminary at Iliff, I actually lived right down the street from here, and the gentleman asked me why I moved, and I said, "Well, we lived in someone's basement." So they wanted us out at some point, right? They're like, "All right, TikTok, you made it through seminary, we want our house back." But it really was the reason we were able to make it through, someone's enormous generosity. And so graduated from seminary, worked at Evergreen United Methodist for a few years, and then found myself at Hope United Methodist, where, like most United Methodist congregations today, they really were excited to get a young clergy person, 29 years old, and saw in me this wonderful opportunity to get young families to come to their church, not realizing that, like, I actually get along much better with my senior brother and sisters. So joke was on them, because anyone over 80 is, like, my best friend. But something happened kind of at Hope United Methodist Church while I was there of trying to fulfill this call to engage people that were my age and younger at the time, where we began having conversations around what it meant to be the church in the world today, what it looked like to be a disciple in the 21st century. And over a journey of 8 years, what culminated was really this vision for an alternative expression of what it meant to gather together, what worship looked like. What would it be if worship were not something we did an hour on Sundays, right, but a way in which we lived our lives? And so, after a long journey, many stories included and omitted and woven together, this past July, I was appointed as a full-time pastor of a new faith community way out in Aurora, off of E470 and Jewel. And if you're wondering, there's nothing out there. I think I've driven past that to get to the airport. Then you're absolutely right. There is nothing out there. When I joke around about the appointment system, I usually have this picture that I hold up, and it's this really dried out brown field. And I say, no one can ever complain about their appointment again, because this is my church. But the joke's on me because I asked for it. Oh, we received a grant last spring to to be able to have a full-time pastor. And so after 5 years of working on this vision, we have a worshiping community that gathers on Saturdays outdoors. We sit on hay bales. We have dogs as part of our congregation, which there are about 500 stories in there, I'm sure you can imagine, underneath a tent, out on 10 acres of beautiful prairie land, owned once by the conference and now gifted to this community, who imagines expressing our faith through connecting people from all walks of life to create, to their creator and to creation. I brought this lovely board here because what I realized is, so I've preached at about 22 congregations since June, and each time it's a struggle to really put concretely what we're doing at the land. So this is as concrete as I can possibly get for you this morning. But it's really a visual of how we see developing this 10 acres of completely undeveloped land with our 2-acre edible labyrinth, which will provide 1 acre of produce, healthy, fresh, organic food, not only for us, but also for our neighbors, and then trails throughout the property, an outdoor amphitheater. These are fingerprints. I don't know if that's actually the right word. I'm always making up words because this is all new language to me. For buildings one day, a cathedral greenhouse, trees, an orchard throughout the property, a farm stand. All of this envisioned out of a group of people who I was called to serve upon my arrival at Hope United Methodist Church, who never once attended that congregation. But the call and Hope United Methodist Church's willingness to extend their ministry, their clerical resources beyond the walls of their building has resulted in this energizing and vibrant new vision of welcoming people into a new space. And I'll be honest that this morning, this scripture pulled at my heart because I can so identify with Jesus. This gathering together for him of people whom he trusted and loved, who he had offered himself completely to. The life of his ministry unfolding before them. And all of a sudden, one day he wakes up and opens his eyes and pulls back the curtains and sees on a big screen John and Jesus, gladiators of the baptismal font. Who will win in the next episode? And I imagine that his heart broke. And it doesn't give us that commentary, but he sure did decide that he needed a break from that place. And so he packed up his bags and headed off on a retreat, leaving one place that he knew for another that he knew just as well. But our story this morning doesn't take us to two familiar places. It drops us off in a place that Jesus never expected to be, a place that had no purpose other than that the GPS said that it was the quickest way to get where he wanted to be. Samaria. A well with deep symbolism, a woman without a name. And Jesus is exhausted, the way that I imagine most of us feel this morning. Shootings in our schools, suicides among our teens, fires in California, and natural disasters flooding this earth. And we know the names of the people now that are affected by each one of these tragedies as our globe becomes ever smaller. And we stand at a well thirsty for hope and meaning and purpose in all of this place that we never imagined we would be. This story brings me hope. The words of Jesus, packaged as human and divine, standing at the same well with us this morning and looking across to a woman with no value, no name, and reaching out to her and asking her for a drink of living water. It's okay to be thirsty is what I hear in these words. And her reply is a reply that we've given 1 million times in different ways using different words. Who, me? Jesus, you want me to give you some water? Like, didn't you just turn water into wine? Like, didn't you just multiply all the fishes and raise people from the dead, and you're calling me to give this world living water? You're calling us, the United Methodist Church, who likes to gather inside buildings on Sunday morning for 1 hour, to start something new beyond the boundaries of walls and the comforts of all the commodities that we're used to. You're calling us to Samaria. You're calling us to accept and offer living water this morning. This was not my plan, I want you to know. When I graduated from seminary, the idea was never to do something bold and courageous, which is what I often hear I am doing, though I have little awareness of it most of the time. The plan was to find a nice congregation who had a wonderful pattern and a lovely rhythm, and to settle down, maybe into the sunset with walks on the beach. But we are called. We are called to look around us and see the things that don't make sense. We are called to stand up and to turn around and begin on a new path, and to find where God leads us to be, not where we wished we had been. And to arrive in this place thirsty and craving something new. And so I welcome you in whatever way you're being called this morning, to know that you are not alone, that Jesus has gone before you and arrived in the same place and used the same words and stayed to expand ministry beyond the boundaries of what we ever thought it could be. And you are not alone, because I am with you all the way on this journey of discovering once again what it means to be a disciple in this 21st century. Amen.